Welcome to Bruderhof Radio, an independent production which broadens the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action.
The statistics over the last 10 years are over 2,000 people every day die as a direct result of war worldwide. 9 out of 10 of those people are civilians. 9 out of 10. And half of those are children. So it's about 1,000 kids every day, due to armed conflicts around the world, are just being wasted.
I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman. Over the past several weeks, a large granite stone has been moving slowly through the hills and hamlets of America's Northeast. From Massachusetts to Washington, D.C., over bridges and under highways, past post offices, diners, and Little League fields, 7 men and women have pulled a slab of granite weighing 2,000 pounds, resting on a large caisson amid the flags of many nations. The words, "Unknown civilians killed in war," are inscribed in simple letters on its smooth surface. This week on Bruderhof Radio, a look at Stonewalk, a new pilgrimage to honor civilians killed in war. Bruderhof Radio's Ben Wright caught up with Stonewalk on July 16th as they prepared to enter New York City the following day. He spoke on the phone with Meg Randa.
Yeah, well, right now we're on Route 25A, coming into the town of, I believe it's Brookfield. Let me double check. Are we in Brookfield?
Brookville.
And we're doing okay. I'd say we've got about 10, 12 people helping us push. Looks like here comes a father with 2 teenage sons that are coming to join us. Everybody's cheering. And we're really exhausted today from a day of pushing up unbelievable hills yesterday. So we're a little behind schedule, but it feels like today, I think, is just going to be a gathering of people coming to help and helping us get as far as we can. We'd really like to get into Jackson Heights if possible, and we're going to push as long as we can.
Where did you stay last night?
We stayed at a church in Brookville, and we just couldn't go another mile, and we found this little church on the side of the road, and a man just appeared out of nowhere and said he knew the pastor. And her name was Sandy. I can't remember her last name, but it was like an angel was sent to us. She had us into her home, made us dinner. We all used her shower. And she had great music playing, and it was just the end of a perfect, exhausting day. It was a perfect ending, and we all slept well. And she helped get us this morning with breakfast, and it was fantastic.
Have there been those moments when you felt like you might not make it, where there weren't enough people to push the stone up the hill?
We had a classic moment yesterday where we were just absolutely spent. We didn't have anything left to get up a hill. We were down to about 8 people. And for the first time in the 12 days that we'd been on the road, we had to actually stop in the middle of a hill, which we've never done before, and kind of gather our strength. And after a few, you know, minutes of rest, we got up and tried again, and we literally took one step at a time, and it felt like we weren't going to make it. And before we knew it, one of the police officers accompanying us pulled his cruiser over, took his holster off and handed it to his partner, took off his bulletproof vest and his shirt, and got behind the caisson, and it was like 100 people had joined us. And this one police officer, with just the energy and the spirit of his action, got us up to the top of the hill. I think it was outside of Bridgeport, Connecticut. We had another moment where we were down to about 7 or 8 people, and 4 EMTs and firefighters came out of the local station and pushed us up an unbelievably steep hill. And we got into the city of Bridgeport. That was really amazing because we had people come off the street. I mean, 4 guys who were definitely, you know, not living on the streets, but they were of the streets, and they looked like, you know, 4 really tough guys, and they ended up pushing us all the way to the ferry terminal, and they were just so terrific. They were so much in the spirit of helping and doing something. The police who were accompanying us clearly knew these guys for probably other reasons, and they were just so uplifted and so amazed that these guys stepped forward and helped us.
And how many people can push at once?
We We have several extensions, and when we arrived in Port Jefferson, New York, when we took the ferry across Long Island from Bridgeport, mm-hmm. We had an unbelievable reception there. The whole town turned out to greet us. And when we left the next morning, we had probably 100 people helping to pull us out of town. So we have straps that we can hook on to the extension bars, so lots of people can hold on to the straps and help to pull. But the actual, you know, functional moving along of the caisson with all of the bar extensions, probably I would say about 40 people can pull all at once and really, you know, be not just, you know, doing it to be a part of it, but can really participate in the actual pulling of the weight of the stones.
What's the plan for the weekend in New York City?
Well, we're, you know, coming across the Queensboro Bridge, and then we're planning to go uptown to Strawberry Fields, Memorial for John Lennon, that's in Central Park, and then head back down Fifth Avenue to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and then we'll be starting a 24-hour vigil when we bring the stone down to the United Nations, and it'll be there until Sunday morning around 2 o'clock, and we'll head for the Holland Tunnel. We're supposed to go through it at 3 in the morning. They've closed one of the tubes for us, and so we're supposed to get everything through the tunnel at 3 in the morning. I guess that will be Monday morning.
Thanks very much, Meg. It sounds wonderful. I can hear the music in the background. I wish I was there pushing with you guys.
Yeah, we're having a great time. People keep saying that, you know, this is addicting. They come to help us up one hill, and many times they stay all day, and sometimes they're back the next.
And it's a fantastic idea. I think it's bringing a lot of people together.
It certainly is, and that's really what it's all about. You know, if anything, it's the journey that really counts here. And we'll just all keep our fingers crossed for what happens when we get to the end of that journey.
In the early afternoon of July 17th, the Stonewalkers arrived at Strawberry Fields in New York City's Central Park.
Oh, we are
Stonewalkers, you're relieved of duty for a while.
Yeah!
check in with Carl or myself, and we'll let you know how this is going to work. We're going to have certain people standing at the caisson, but otherwise everyone else can go out and have fun.
Well,
we'll see
out.
How that's going to work. We'll get a schedule together.
All right.
That'll be a first.
First of all, what's your name, and how do you get involved with this project? And what's this project mean to you?
My name is Earl Stanberry. They call me the Peacemaker. This is called Stonewalk, and July 4th, a group of us, seven or eight at times, started walking this caisson, which is the tombstone for the unknown civilians, which is parked right outside here. But we started walking it from a little town called Sherbourne, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston, with in hopes to get it to Washington, D.C. by August 6th by human power alone. So every town that we go through, we ask people to stop and help us push it through their town. If you look on the back of her T-shirt right there, we're going through 75 cities, from Massachusetts to Connecticut to New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, D.C., and then hopefully ending up in Arlington National Cemetery. How I got involved in this is God sent me. I believe in peace. I'm a veteran from the Gulf War, and I've seen people die over stupid stuff, and I'm glad that God put me on the peaceful side of things. Most people don't realize it, but out of wars, 9 out of 10 people that die are civilians, and there's a memorial in the Arlington National Cemetery for soldiers, but nothing for civilians.
There's monuments everywhere. This is not a monument. It is just a memorial stone. We don't profess it to be a monument.
Hugh Thompson was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
And we want to, as an organization, give it as a gift to our government. Hopefully it'll be placed in Arlington Cemetery. And so everybody can, you know, just see it and maybe take a minute and think. Because the youth of our country is going to be leading us tomorrow, and we'd like to instill it in their minds real good also.
My name is Simon Augustine, and I'm a student in Divinity School and have been interning at the Peace Abbey for the last year, and helped organize Stonewalk, and then decided to go along for the whole route, and so here I am in Central Park, about halfway along. It's the stone itself is about 2,000 pounds, and the caisson that's being carried on, which was custom made, is about 1,500 pounds. So with a person in there and all the stuff we carry, it gets close to about 2 tons when we're pulling it up. So some of those big hills through Long Island and Connecticut were, you know, really difficult, and pulling that amount of weight up. And sometimes we only had our core group, you know, five people, and five people pulling that amount of weight, it was pretty strenuous.
The support all along the way has been help. They had some trouble in Connecticut or somewhere, you know, getting up some of those hills up there, and, you know, people came out of their houses and joined in. They've treated them to refreshments. It's been total positive support the whole way with people. New York City has just gone out of its way to provide us access, provide us escorts. I was told not too many times traffic stopped on 57th Street or Avenue, whichever one it was, and, you know, they stop it for us, and we, you know, get the caisson through.
Stonewalk is a project of the Peace Abbey, an unpretentious two-story house in the town of Sherbourne, Massachusetts. According to Louis Randa, director of the Peace Abbey since 1976, the idea for a monument to the civilian victims of war first occurred to him during a visit to Arlington National Cemetery 5 years ago. The stone was cut and later dedicated on the grounds of the Peace Abbey by Muhammad Ali at a special ceremony in 1994. Carl Schlotterbeck, a coordinator at the Peace Abbey, remembers what followed.
Afterwards, people come to the pacifist memorial there and to see other things at the on the grounds of Strawberry Fields there, and would often comment that this stone looked like something that belonged in Washington, D.C. And finally, I think it was there was a Buddhist monk from Cambodia, Maha Gosananda, who came to visit, and he asked Lewis the same question that many people had: is there a stone like this in Washington? Lewis said no, and so the monk said, "Well, if there's no stone in Washington, you should take this one and bring it to Washington," and that set off a chain of events that led to the Stonewalk now.
At the kickoff for Stonewalk on July 4th, awards for courage of conscience were presented by the Peace Abbey to two Vietnam veterans who would be accompanying the walk. Hugh Thompson was one. Larry Colburn, Thompson's gunner in Vietnam, was the other.
I was a helicopter door gunner for Hugh Thompson, and we started out on a routine reconnaissance, air support and reconnaissance mission for some people that they were inserting on the ground. And we didn't receive the same briefing they did. They were briefed to go in and kill everything, and that was Task Force Barker. And we were just air support and reconnaissance for them, and we were treating it like any other mission. And flying around the perimeter of the hamlets and trying to make sure there was no one who could cause any problems for them. We weren't receiving any fire, and then as we went in and out of the village hamlet areas, at some point in the morning, we started seeing bodies, and we couldn't really determine how they got there or who killed them. And we thought it may have been artillery or it may have been gunships from another company. And we ended up ruling all that out when we saw Captain Medina shoot a woman in front of us, a woman that we'd marked with smoke for medical attention. And we sort of took a vote among the crew, and we all decided that we had to do something because there were children involved and non-combatants. They were obviously civilians and no threat to anybody. No one was receiving any fire, nothing hostile going on. So he landed the aircraft in between some civilians that we'd found and some approaching Americans, and Mr. Thompson landed the aircraft, got out himself, and went over and got these people. He actually went and had words with the lieutenant first and told him to back off. He asked him if there was any way we could get these people out, and he said, "Yeah, we can get them with hand grenades." And Thompson said, "No, back your people off. I think I can do better than that." So he put himself in between the American forces and the Vietnamese people and got them out of this little bunker they were in and called in another helicopter and lifted them out of there and got them to safety.
I know very few people that have been in combat and think it's a good idea.
Hugh Thompson.
Because I can't see anything accomplished in war except loss of lives. everybody we fought before, we're their friends now. So it hadn't, you know, war hadn't accomplished anything, you know, in my lifetime, and certainly in most people's lifetime.
What other sorts of peace actions have you been involved in over the years since the Vietnam War?
Oh, none.
this is the first one.
Well, this isn't a peace. I don't consider it a peace. I'm not a peace activist myself, but I think we ought to honor the civilians that have perished in war, because there's far more civilians that get killed in war than military people. And out of the civilians that killed in war, 90% of them are kids. That should answer a question. You know, if we keep it up, there will be no future to the world, not the United States, but to the world. I'm a retired military. I was, you know, trained to fight, trained to kill. But I wasn't trained to murder, and that's what happened in My Lai. That's why they asked me if I, you know, supported their mission here, is to bring attention to civilians suffer in war. And it's just not right. War hadn't proven anything. It hadn't solved anything. We fight for a while, then we make up, and then they're our best friends. I just, you know, have a hard time understanding, you know, why start dropping the bombs in the first place.
The important thing, and if we do get stifled in D.C., I think this is what they're trying to stifle, is the statistics over the last 10 years are over 2,000 people every day die as a direct result of war worldwide. 9 out of 10 of those people are civilians. 9 out of 10. And half of those are children. So it's about 1,000 kids every day, due to armed conflicts around the world, are just being wasted. And even you say, wow, because you didn't know those figures. I didn't know them until the World or the International Red Cross came out with them. But that's the whole idea behind Stonewalk. And it's not just over the last decade, but over the last 100 years, or since we came to this continent, you know. We're trying to, I know that we're evolving out of that warring mentality. And I think this is just symbolic of that, and hopefully it will inspire people to kind of change the way of thinking and be more diplomatic and work harder on negotiating before they bring in the big guns.
Have you been on this walk since it started in Sherbourne?
I'll be with them for a few days now and then a few days in D.C. when we try to get it placed. And if we need to go to jail, that's okay too.
Hugh Thompson and Larry Colburn were among dozens of people who joined Stonewalk on the streets of Manhattan. Relaxing in the shade of Central Park, many were willing to share their stories with us.
Yeah, my name is Ted, T-E-D Conlin, C-O-N-L-I-N, from Long Island. I'm a writer. I've known Louis Ronda for several years. I write about war and peace, and principally about doing away with war. War being a male disease, a male illness, because it's always the men who are declaring war, the men who are fighting war, but in recent times, it's the innocent civilians and blameless women who are the victims. So I've done war relief work extensively in Bosnia, in Croatia, and then in Kosovo. So it's a subject very close to my heart, very close to my heart. We've got to do away. There's got to be a better way than war. There has to be.
So how many days have you been helping push the stone?
Just for 2 days. Long Island, the North Shore, with the rolling hills. They're brutal.
Just to do what you can.
Manhattan is basically level land so far, from what I've seen. Long Island was tough. Yeah, tough. It's good to suffer a little bit. You feel what the refugees feel sometimes. And it's good to know those feelings.
Name's Bill Kelly, William Kelly, and I'm from Melbourne, Australia. Someone had said to me one time that they thought that peace seemed to be an extreme position, and I said, isn't that interesting that peace seems to be an extreme position and yet you say war is not? I would take the thing that war is an extreme position, but people are willing to accept war and understand that it's a part of their life as they perceive it to be, but not to accept peace as being that. And so there's a lot of educational issues to deal with, I guess.
Can something like Stonewalk make an impact on those kind of attitudes?
Everything that makes a contribution is helping different people understand things. And something like Stonewalk, one of the reasons that I'm strongly supportive of it is that it becomes a symbolic, a visual and symbolic way of drawing people together, and one where the notion of something as a real entity, which then has a real presence in our space, is something which then has to be dealt with, has to be acknowledged and has to be dealt with. Either it will go into Arlington or it will not. But whether it does or does not go into Arlington is not the end of the story. The stories will continue about the fact that this happened and what it meant to people and the fact that it was involved in a very strong consciousness-raising sort of process.
My name is Adam Ben Abdallah. How old are you?
17.
What are your feelings on war? Would you ever consider participating in war? Has this changed your ideas about war?
Well, these days, I mean, kids have an attitude towards war. It's just they kind of feel just away from it. They don't want anything to do with it, really. But I mean, I guess World War II generation, there are probably more volunteers then than there would be now if there was a big war like that.
I just saw them around 60th Street, and it just kind of called me, and I just decided to join in.
Diego Avalos is a student from California.
It just felt like something I had to do. I think times have changed, and it's not really like any more patriotic. It's kind of like you love your country, but you are not willing to fight. Like, a lot of my friends are just like, I would not be willing to go and fight anybody just for my country. So like a lot of people don't want to even enroll or anything like that.
How old are you?
I'm 18. No, it's kind of like a fire burning inside of me, and I just feel that I have to do something to help to be able to change the world. I mean, I won't be able to change the world myself, but today, just a few people that saw the stone being carried throughout the city, that story is going to live in them for a while at least, and maybe they'll decide to make a change also. So I think it's a great thing that they're doing this.
While in New York City, the Stonewalkers were disappointed by the apparent lack of media attention, which was at that time wholly focused on the disappearance of John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife, and her sister. Also, the efforts of congressmen to allow the stone into Arlington National Cemetery had been spearheaded by Patrick Joseph Kennedy of Rhode Island, the son of Senator Edward Kennedy, who was now forced to put these issues on hold. And a number of Stonewalk participants admitted that their chances of placing the stone were small, even with congressional support. But a week later, we checked in with Director Carl Schlotterbeck to see how things were going, and he was optimistic.
Well, we fully expect that Arlington Cemetery will welcome this when we get it down there, that the awareness that is there in the American public that soldiers and civilians die together in war will translate itself into Arlington accepting this stone, and we're confident that on August 5th or 6th, when we're down there, that there will be a ceremony at Arlington where they welcome the stone, and we've decided from our standpoint that the best place for it is up outside the amphitheater near the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's a lot of grassy space outside of the memorial amphitheater there, within view of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, so that people visiting Arlington get a visual awareness of the fact that soldiers and civilians are dying together, and that often in a war you can't account for all of the casualties, and so you have unknown soldiers and unknown civilians who are killed.
Stonewalk will be arriving in Washington, D.C. on August 6th, the anniversary of the nuclear bombing of Hiroshima. To see if Stonewalk is passing through your town, check out their planned route at www.peaceabbey.org.
You know, as far as your listeners are concerned, man, I wish they would just...
Earl Stanberry, a Gulf War veteran, is known as the peacemaker by fellow Stonewalkers.
If they don't know, if they'll be in the area where we're passing through, if they know somebody in that area that can be standing by just to help us push it a block or even just up the hill, you know, I mean, God sent us on this mission here to get this stone to Arlington National Cemetery, but we believe it's for all of us, because at any time we could be those unknown civilians killed.
That's all for this edition of Bruderhof Radio. Ben Wright helped to write and produce this program, and I'm your host and producer, Andrew Zimmerman. For more information on the subject of this program, give us a call at 914-658-8351. Bruderhof Radio is a production of the Bruderhof Communities, a communal movement based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount, in particular the teachings concerning brotherly love, mutual service, nonviolence, and the refusal to bear arms. Money and possessions are pooled voluntarily, and in turn each member is provided for and cared for. For further information, call 914-658-8351.